Thank you very much for the introduction. I'll try to keep us all entertained and get us to lunch on time. So I'm happy to be here today to talk to you guys a little bit about some work we've been doing with reduced lignin alfalfa up in Minnesota. So alfalfa is widely used as a forage for livestock due to its high nutrient content. Compared to grasses, alfalfa is lower in neutral detergent fiber, higher in crude protein and digestible energy, and contains more higher concentrations of a lot of the essential vitamins and minerals like calcium. For these reasons, alfalfa is one of the most economically and important perennial legume species throughout the U.S. And in Minnesota and Wisconsin alone, it is grown as hay or haylage on over 3 million acres. This figure is showing some of the changes that alfalfa undergoes as it increases from more of a vegetative up to a flowering stage. So you can see it is well established that as forages increase in maturity, your total forage yield increases. However, this is also at the expense of forage digestibility. If we break this total forage yield component down into stem and leaf yield, you'll see that leaf yield remains fairly constant over time, while much of the increase in the total forage yield is a result of increasing stem yield. As these plants are maturing, they're depositing fiber into their cell walls, and this is important to allow the plants to have the necessary structure and rigidity to remain upright. However, this is why we often see such a decrease in forage digestibility as forage matures. The major fiber components deposited into plants with increasing cell wall maturity are cellulose, hemicellulose, and lignin. Of these three components, lignin is the main concern from an animal science standpoint because it is an indigestible component of plants, and as such, it hampers the digestibility and the utilization of these forages by our livestock species. Lignin also binds to cellulose and hemicellulose and is a barrier to their digestibility. And numerous studies have found that the cell wall digestibility is negatively correlated to the lignin concentration. So you can see in this figure, this is true both for grasses and legumes. And as our fiber digestibility, as our lignin concentrations increase, our fiber digestibility concentrations go down. Because of this, a lot of work recently has focused, or in the alfalfa breeding world, a lot of work has been focused on producing new alfalfa varieties that contain reduced lignin concentrations. In the past few years, we've had a few varieties that are now becoming commercially available. The two main traits are the Hygest and the Harv Extra. And these reduced lignin alfalfa varieties provide an opportunity to increase the value of alfalfa as a forage source for our livestock. Research has shown that even small changes in forage digestibility can impact animal performance. For example, Kassler and Vogel found in a study that with a 1% increase in dry matter digestibility, they found a 3% increase in daily weight gains for beef cattle. Research with reduced lignin alfalfa done thus far has shown promise. Experimental populations have shown a 2 to 29% decrease in lignin compared to control alfalfa lines. The other potential advantage with reduced lignin alfalfa is increased management flexibility. Reduced lignin alfalfa could provide a wider harvest window without a decrease in digestibility. So, for example, if an alfalfa grower were to harvest the reduced lignin alfalfa under a delayed cutting schedule, they could potentially have maintained forage quality while they increase their forage yields. This would allow for fewer harvest cuts per season, resulting in less harvest costs and reduced field traffic. Because of this, the objectives for our study were to evaluate the yield and forage nutritive value of reduced lignin alfalfa compared to reference alfalfa varieties when subject to diverse cutting treatments. We had a two-fold hypothesis. The first was that if harvested at the same time as reference varieties, reduced lignin alfalfa will have comparable forage yields but will be higher in forage nutritive value. And the second was that if the reduced lignin varieties were harvested under a delayed cutting schedule, they could maintain forage nutritive value while providing increased yields. complete this study, we planted our alfalfa at 4 locations in Minnesota the last week of April in 2015. At each of these locations, we established 5 replicates with a plot size of 6.1 by 0.91 meters. The experiment was set up under a split plot design with whole plots being different cutting treatments that were selected to range from every 30 to every 45 days, and subplots being our 4 alfalfa varieties. In this study, we included 3 reference or control varieties, which are these bottom 3, as well as this 54HBX41, which is a reduced lignin variety. The research or harvest was completed throughout 2015 and 2016, so we have seeding year and first production year data. For purposes of time, for this presentation, I'm going to focus on the data from the first production year, or 2016. Here's an example of our harvest schedule for the St. Paul location in 2016. You can see our 4 different cutting treatments here with the different cutting intervals. All of the cutting treatments began around the end of May and concluded around October 1st. I would like to point out that the 30 and 35 day cutting treatment had a total of 5 cuts throughout the season, while the 40 and 45 day cutting treatments had a total of 4 cuts. At the time of harvest, alfalfa was hand harvested. We hand harvested duplicate samples from each plot. The first of these samples was staged using the maturity staging system developed by Kalu and Fick. And the second sample was ground, dried, and used for forage nutritive value analysis. Following hand sampling, we mechanically harvested the whole plot with the Carter harvester and weighed this for yield determination. And we also measured stem counts and plant population densities as a way to look at forage persistence over time. Our data was analyzed using the mixed procedure of SAS with statistical significance set to P less than or equal to 0.05. Cutting treatment and variety were included as fixed effects, and replicate was included as a random effect. We found some significant interactions between cutting treatment and location, so we chose to analyze our locations separately. And we did not find any significant interactions between our cutting treatment and variety, so therefore we will be reporting the main effects of each of these. And for this presentation, I'm going to be focusing on the main effects of the alfalfa varieties. So moving into our results, here we have our yield results broken down by our varieties, with yield in megagrams per hectare along the y-axis and our 4 alfalfa varieties along the x-axis. I have bolded the reduced lignin variety just to remind everybody. And our results are shown for the Becker location in red, the Rosemont location in gray, and the St. Paul location in the yellow color. We saw very standard yield averages across all of our locations. Total seasonal yield ranged from around 15 to 21 megagrams per hectare. At Rosemont and St. Paul, we saw no differences in yield among alfalfa varieties. And at Becker, we did see a slight yield drop for the reduced lignin variety compared to the conventional varieties. This is promising because it shows that under a wide range of cutting treatments, at the majority of our locations, we did not see any yield lag associated with the reduced lignin trait. Looking next at our forage nutritive values based on our alfalfa varieties, here we have the numbers for our St. Paul location. The other locations were very comparable. And our 4 alfalfa varieties are listed in this first column, and I have included forage nutritive values for crude protein, neutral detergent fiber, acid detergent lignin, and neutral detergent fiber digestibility. Looking first at our crude protein, we saw no differences in crude protein among any of our alfalfa varieties, with an average of 18% crude protein. Nutri-detergent fiber concentrations averaged 42%, and again, were not different between our alfalfa varieties. Lignin concentrations were significantly reduced for the reduced lignin variety compared to all of the reference varieties, with an average of an 8% reduction in lignin across all the locations. And our nutri-detergent fiber digestibility predictions were significantly higher for the reduced lignin variety compared to all of the reference varieties. On average, it was about a 10% increase across locations. So to further dig into these forage nutrient value results, we regressed our, we calculated a relative forage quality value for each of our alfalfa varieties and regressed this across cumulative growing degree days, which you'll see here along the x-axis. We have presented this as the reduced lignin variety, which is shown in the red dashed line, and the average of the three reference varieties, which is shown in the blue solid line. You can see that as the cumulative growing degree days increased, our relative forage quality decreased. This is expected. As I mentioned earlier, we often see a decrease in forage quality with increasing maturity. However, you would, if you look at the 95% confidence intervals for this figure or the shaded area around each of these lines, we did find that there was a significantly higher relative forage quality for the reduced lignin alfalfa from approximately a 28-day to a 40-day cutting interval. This is shows further promise and further potential for this reduced lignin variety and kind of correlates well with what we saw with our individual forage nutritive value results. So in conclusion, we saw minimal yield differences between our alfalfa varieties. With the exception of Becker, there were no differences among our locations. The reduced lignin alfalfa showed similar crude protein and neutral detergent fiber concentrations, decreased lignin, increased neutral detergent fiber digestibility, and it had a higher relative forage quality from a 28 to 40 day cutting interval. So myself, being an animal scientist by training, the increase in digestibility and decreased lignin concentrations are of particular interest, and I'm happy to say that we are actually moving forward and taking this another step further and trying some in-animal digestibility studies, which is actually happening right now up in Minnesota. So I'm taking a little break from collecting fecal samples to be here. So with that, I would like to thank you all for your attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. That is a really great question. So the question was, how far do we think that this is going to go with the reduction in lignin? Is there an extent or a limit to kind of how far we can push this? Is that correct? So that is a really great question. We've had a lot of questions regarding lodging with this reduced lignin variety because a lot of people are concerned that with the reduction in lignin, there will be less structural rigidity and less fiber for the plant to hold itself up. I do think that there probably is an extent to the amount you can reduce lignin before you see compromises in that. Thus far, we did not see any huge problems with lodging. Where we did see lodging was with our super delayed cutting treatment schedule. So when we went out all the way up to 45-day harvest interval, those are the plants that became really lodged. And when it did, it wasn't necessarily just one variety, it was the whole field. So far, we haven't seen any negative consequences to this, but you're right, there is a limit to how far we can go. Yeah?
Your digestibility data, was that calculated?
That was calculated, yep, using NIR equations.
Have you performed the in vitro digestibility?
We have not as of yet, but that is something that I would be very interested in doing.
Presenting your forage quality data you had overall. It was like overall over the course of all cuttings.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see differences for cutting as well?
So the question was if we saw any differences within each individual cutting. Because of the way the statistics worked out, we had to focus on the main effects of just cutting treatment or just variety. We weren't able to look at the interaction between those. We didn't find anything significant. So that's how come we tried to make this regression curve to kind of look at it as a curve or as a whole, and then you can figure out from there, oh, at this harvest, the RFQ for the reduced lignin was higher, but at this cutting interval it wasn't. We kind of had to take a slightly different approach in our analysis.